How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Thankful you tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. The Lord here in chapter 15 has told us about the rejoicing in heaven over a sinner that repenteth, that there's a joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. There's no joy over 99 self-righteous, self-justified people that don't need any repentance. But the Lord rejoices in repentance. He's brought this down to an account in the latter part of chapter 15 about two brothers, and one that goes out and is wicked and wayward with his inheritance, and then the other brother that is there and faithful and to his father and that, and all those things that transpire there. In chapter 16, as we come to this, and the point, the salvation of souls, the rescue of sinners, is the point of rejoicing. Not the things of the world, not the things that appeal to us, appeal to the flesh, and that good things that are given to us and to enjoy. But the Lord says what's most important here is the rescue and salvation of sinners. That's the lost sheep. That's the lost coin. That's the son that comes back and that is received in mercy and love. And that is what's most important. He said, not the things of this world. And not to serve and walk with the Lord in rigor and duty, but in love, understanding what the aim is. And so now, our Lord Jesus in this chapter 16, we don't have any reason to believe that this isn't a continuation of what the Lord has been teaching in chapter 15. So here in Luke chapter 16, verse number 1, let's pick it up. And he said unto his disciples, and so now Jesus turns his attention to the disciples, right after this, about the parable or the account of the prodigal son. He says, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer steward. Verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And so, the Lord gives this parable, and we know it is so. Well, it says a certain rich man, so maybe this is a true account. But he gives this account here, we'll take it that way, of this rich man that had a man that was responsible for his goods, that he's responsible for a part of his household or operation. And he hears rumor that this steward has not been doing good with his responsibilities. Word gets around to the steward from the Lord, okay, from the rich man, And he says to him in verse number 2, how is it that I hear of this of thee and give account of your stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward, And so the steward, he started thinking in his mind. He started running things over in his mind. What am I going to do? I'm too work brittle to dig. So to go out and dig and to provide for myself, in his mind was just not an option. He was just not going to go there. And he's too proud to beg. And so he mulls over that. That's not going to work. And so what is it that he does? He said, I tell you what, I'm gonna give my master's debtors a break. That seems to be what it is. And what's it say in verse number 4? I resolve what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their homes, their houses. So I know what I'll do is I'll go out into all the master's debtors, and I'll cut them a break, and then they can recompense me when I'm put out of the stewardship. So he called every one, verse number 5, his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? So he says, what's your debt unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So the first fellow he asked, he says, well, I owe him 100 measures of oil. That's what I'm in for. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Now, I think that we could maybe look at this two ways. It could be that the man that owes his master, his Lord, 100 measures of oil, it could be that he paid him for 50 and that he collected that to give unto his master when he goes in to give an account. Not the 100 that is owed, but what the steward is going to say is that, oh, he owed you 50 and it's paid for. And both he and the debtor know that there's another 50 that has been forgiven in this secret deal between the steward and the debtor. But because of that, it'll provide a living for him. And so he's found to be a thief, if this is the case. The other aspect could be is not that the debtor paid, but that the books were altered. Okay? And so the man that owes unto the master, he says, I owe him 100. He says, well, take your bill and quickly write 50. Let's alter the books and let's just say it's not as bad as what it is. And so the steward is urging the debtor to be confederate with him and laying out this deception. It's not as bad off as it seems to be. It's one or the other way. Then he said unto another, verse number 7, and how much owest thou? And he said, I owe 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take thy bill and write 80. So cut 20 off of that. And either he paid him for the 80 or he massaged the books to say, well, to show, well, it's not as bad as what you've heard, boss. We don't know what it would be. So we have the fellow with the oil, we have the fellow with the wheat, and there's this altering of the books or the collection of a lesser payment. And so then what the steward has worked to forgive, he'll have his hooks in those debtors, and they'll owe him, and they'll care for him when he's put out. Verse number 8, and this is this can be a head scratcher for us. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Isn't that interesting? Word got around to the Lord, to the master. Word got around to the Lord that what he had done, whether it was he collected less than was due and saying that that was all that was due, or he massaged the books to provide for himself. Either way, he's providing for himself. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children, here's the statement of our Lord Jesus, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, we've come out of this parable about what's important to the Lord, and that's repentant sinners. And the Lord is making a declaration that the stuff of the life and the stuff of this world pales in comparison to the value of souls. And so what's the statement that's being made here by the Lord telling us of this account, the certain man, the certain rich man, and his unjust, his rotten steward? He makes this statement that the Lord, the Master, commended the unjust steward. He said, "Oh, you've done good for yourself, haven't you? You've taken a bad situation and you've made it okay for yourself." Now, it doesn't commend him for being a thief. It doesn't commend him for being a liar. But he does commend him, okay, because he collected a certain amount and he got the collection done, if that's what it was. Or he was shyster enough to provide for himself and made a way seemingly out of an impossible situation. Here's the Lord's statement. "For because the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Why would the master think this wise of his unjust, wicked steward? Because it tells about the operation of the world. What's important to the world is the stuff of this world. And that's the measuring stick, and the way that men operate in this world is with the stuff of this world. The point is, there's no consideration of the spiritual. There's no consideration of character. There's no consideration of righteousness. There's just consideration about the stuff and what is due and what we can get and what we can arrange and how we can take care of ourselves. It's sad, isn't it? But that's what men are interested in. And the thing is men get so tied up with the stuff of this life and the things of this world, and we just naturally don't know anything about anything spiritual. And that's the reason the Lord brings to us the truth, that we might hear about what is most important. What's most important to the Lord? The repentance of sinners, not the wicked conniving of men upon this earth. He says the children of the world are wiser in regards to the things of this world than the children of light. And that's just the way it works. They think differently. The father in the previous account, what was he interested in? He's interested in the souls of his sons. That's what he's interested in, not the stuff. He's got a blessing indeed. The Lord's blessed him with that. But what's most important? The spiritual, the need of the soul. How about your soul? Where is your soul at? Where do you stand before God in regards to your soul? I tell you what, you may have more money than you could ever spend, and property and wealth and things of life and all that, but how is it with your soul? What does God say about your soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We point you to Lord Jesus Christ. As has been indicated in these scriptures, repentance. Repentance. The Lord honors repentance of sinners. Not excuses, but repentance of your sins before God, that you're guilty. No ifs, ands, or buts. And he declares unto us to repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his gospel, for the salvation of your soul. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org.
tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.